We're now going to read in John's Gospel and chapter 3. And we're reading today just a short portion, verse 19 to verse 21. It's on page something or other in the books. Lost my bit leaflet that tells me what page it's on. Here it is. 1066. On the Bibles under the seat. So please make sure you've got a Bible out. Anyway, chapter 3 from verse 19. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be plainly seen that what he has done has been done through God. Amen then, and may God bless these words to us this morning. You'll recall that when we began our study in John's Gospel, there were three main things that John wanted to introduce to us about Jesus. The first in chapter 1 was that Jesus is God's word. He's the one that speaks both in his person and with his mouth, the very word of God. And so it's very important that we listen to Jesus because he is God's word. Second thing he wanted us to understand was that Jesus is light. He is the light of the world. The third thing was that Jesus is the Lamb of God, the Lamb who came to be sacrificed for us, fulfilling all the Old Testament sacrifices, Jesus, the ultimate, the final Lamb, giving down his life on the cross for us, that our sins might be dealt with. Now, in this little portion that's before us this morning, obviously, is going to take us back to number two of these three things. He wants us to think a bit more deeply about light and about Jesus being the light of the world who has come to shine in the darkness. That's the very first thing that these words tell us. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world. It's the very first thing we learn about God in the Bible, isn't it? Way back in Genesis chapter 1, before there was anything except God, God spoke. And the very first thing that God said was, "Let there be light." So this is taking us right back to the very beginning of all things. God is the creator of light. He simply spoke, "Let there be light." It was switched on, and there was light in the darkness of all that there was at that time. And God's been turned on to light ever since. We have to say that. God likes light. God is opposed to darkness. And God is always wanting to deal with darkness wherever that occurs, wherever that appears. If we're going to consider this, we obviously have to understand from these verses this morning that the world in which we live, the world that came into being from the very beginning, from the very earliest days, became a world that was shrouded in darkness. The moment sin entered in through Adam and Eve's disobedience, darkness came into the world at that time. It's the consequence of sin in our lives. It's the opposite of light. So it's the opposite God. Remember when the time came for Jesus to die on the cross in Jerusalem, and it was the height of the day, the lightest part of the afternoon, the brightest time of day. And yet the Bible tells us when Jesus hung on the cross at the brightest part of the day, darkness began to come in and came in on him on that cross. And of course, it was the symbol of all the darkness of the world, all the sin of the world, all that's ever been and ever will be, coming in and being laid on Jesus' shoulders as he died to deal with that for us. And so the world shrouded in darkness, that darkness came onto the shoulders of Jesus as he hung on the cross. The sin in the world is symbolized by this darkness. The other point we've got to think about as we think about that darkness, and we'll pick it up again in a moment, is that, of course, darkness covers things up. Darkness covers up the fact that we've got sin in our lives. It confuses us, so we can't see what we're really, really like. It covers up the way to God, so folks don't know how to find God and what's the way to God. Darkness does all that kind of thing in our lives and in our world. We excuse the reality of sin in our lives, in our world. We ignore it. We explain it away. People wander around not knowing what life's about or where to go or how to find answers. The world shrouded in darkness. We can easily believe that today, can't we? With some of the awful things that happen in our world at this time. Blatant evil happening daily on our news, on the television. So much evil, so much unrestrained evil, so much senseless evil. The darkness that there is in the world. Well, these verses give us a glimmer of hope this morning because it tells us that light has come into the world. And of course, it's really meaning that Jesus has come into the world because Jesus himself is the light of the world. Somebody wrote, fundamentally, our Lord's message was himself. He didn't come merely to preach a gospel. He is the gospel. He didn't come merely to give us bread. He said, I am the bread. He didn't come merely to shed light. He is the light of the world. He didn't come merely to show the door. He said, I am the door. He didn't come merely to name a shepherd. He said, I am the shepherd. He didn't come just to point the way. He said, I am the way. Here is Jesus, who is the light of the world, shining in the darkness. So Jesus comes into our world to show us our sin, to show us the way to himself. It's when Jesus comes close in our lives that we begin to see what we're like. So he exposes our sin, but at the same time, he reveals the way that we can find the answers that we need. It's like a light that attracts the moths in the dark. They come, and that's what Jesus does. As Jesus shines in the darkness, he brings us, draws us to himself. There then, Jesus shines light in a dark world. But John has some very serious things to alert us to, having told us that. Because he goes on to tell us in these verses that although Jesus' light has come to shine in this dark world, many, many times that light is rejected. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world. But men and women love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. And so although Jesus shines in the darkness of our world, many people reject that. Many people reject him because they are already seriously committed to sin. Here, John talks about sin. He talks of it as evil. He makes us face up to what it is. He makes us call it what it is. The Screwtape Letters, written by C.S. Lewis, the young devil is being instructed by the older devil. You will say that these are very small sins, and doubtless, like all your tempters, you are anxious to be able to report spectacular wickedness. But do remember, the only thing that matters is the extent to which you separate the man from the enemy. That's God. It doesn't matter how small the sins are, provided their cumulative effect is to keep the man away from the light. Murder is no better than gambling if gambling can do the trick. Indeed, the safest road to hell is the gradual one, the gentle slope, soft underfoot, without sudden turnings, without milestones, without signposts. We have to face up to the reality of sin and what it is. And we don't make excuses for it. Sin's not a mistake. It's not a blunder. It's not a relapse. It's not a hiccup. It's not a slip up. It's evil. In the eyes of God, every sin is evil. A lie is evil. Lust is evil. Gossip is evil. Anger, most of the time, is evil. Envy is evil. Unforgiveness is evil. Stealing, evil. Hatred, evil, and so on. All sin is evil in the sight of God. Someone said, a man, a woman, is first startled by sin. Then it becomes pleasing, then easy, then delightful, then frequent, then habitual, then confirmed. Men and women are impenitent, obstinate, and then damned. Many people seriously committed to sin and to evil in their lives. Sin grips their hearts. Sin is their way of life. They're comfortable with it. They get pleasure from it. The problem with that is, of course, what we learned last week, is it means they're condemned. Because unless our sin is dealt with, then we are condemned by God and stand condemned by him. Someone said it's tough to be in the dark and not let the dark get in you. The unending struggle for the Christian is to walk in the light, but at the same time to move in the shadows. Many people then are committed to our life of sin. Many people think their sin is hidden. These verses tell us that, don't they? Here John tells us that people prefer darkness to light. Why? Because they think in the darkness nobody will see what they're doing. And they think God will not see what they're doing if they commit their sins in the darkness. And they can pretend they're not really bad at all. They don't have to face up to the reality of their sins. They don't have to face up to what they're really like. They pretend that God does not know. Now, it's at this point we need to see that deceitfulness is at the very heart of sin. Sin doesn't want us to see our sin. Sin doesn't want us to believe our sin is sin. Sin wants to trick us. And so we think, if we commit it in the dark, nobody will notice. God himself will not notice. The only thing, there's a wee problem with that, isn't there? Way back in David's time, he wrote a psalm, Psalm 139. And there David writes, if I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. God's got x-ray eyes. He's got night vision goggles. It doesn't matter if you do it in the dark. He sees every single sin we commit. But many people think, if it's in the dark, it will be okay. And many people, because they're committed to sin, and because they want to hide their sin from themselves and from everybody else, they stay away from Jesus. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. They stay away from Jesus because he's the light. They know if they come close to the light, all that's wrong is going to be exposed and revealed in their lives. That's why loads of people never bother coming to church, because they might come into the presence of Jesus. When I was minister in Stornoway, every time we had a funeral, we usually had the funeral service in church. And after the service, the men would all line up behind the coffin, and they would carry the coffin in a traditional way up the street for a bit, each taking a turn to carry the bier. It was called the lift. There were loads and loads of men that would come and stand outside the church while the service was going on inside the church, because they'd come for the lift. But they wouldn't come in where God's word was being opened up, where Jesus' presence was. They kept their distance from God. Because if you come into the presence of Jesus, your sin will be exposed. It used to be in Scotland, there would be a Bible in every home. Maybe not nowadays. But it used to be when I was wee. But you know, if you went into a lot of homes in those days and said, where's the Bible? It would be in a drawer in the back room, underneath everything else. It was kept at a distance. Because to come close to the word of God was to come close to the light that would shine in the heart and expose the sin that is there. So many people still keep their distance from God and from Jesus. To come close would expose their sin. Somebody said we can easily forgive a child who is afraid of the dark. The real tragedy of life is when men and women are afraid of the light. darkness. We live in a world steeped in darkness today. But Jesus has come and shines in that darkness as the light. He has the answer. He can show us what we're like. And he can show us the way to God if we come close and let him shine into our lives. And so John makes it very clear in the closing verse of this portion that Jesus' light is the only way to God. It's the only way to live. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. The invitation of John's gospel there is that we come to Jesus, that we open our hearts to Jesus, that we let Jesus change us, that we let God do stuff in us. We can't do anything about our sin. We can't stop doing it. We need God's help. We need God's power. We need God to expose it. We need to face up to what it is. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to give us the strength to resist it. We need to be changed. The other week we learned in chapter 3, we need to be born again by the Spirit of God. We need to be turned around. We need to come to the light so that God can change us inwardly and give us power. We need to come to Jesus. Maybe it begins when we begin to glimpse the sin that's in our lives. Maybe it begins when we begin to see what Jesus is like and begin to be drawn to him. It doesn't matter whether we're driven to him by our sin or whether we're drawn to him by his light. The important thing is that we come to him and let him shine into our hearts. Somebody said, man-like it is to fall into sin. Fiend-like it is to dwell therein. Christ-like it is for sin to grieve. God-like it is all sin to leave. We need to come to Christ. And coming to Christ, we need then to live in the truth. Whoever lives by the truth comes to the light. The moment you come to Jesus and are changed and begin to let the truth of God work in your heart, then you have nothing to be afraid of about coming again and again to Jesus. Because there's nothing to hide if we are living by his truth in our lives. Malcolm Muggeridge, an atheist for so many years, but became a Christian in the latter years of his life. "I am the light of the world," the founder of the Christian religion said. What a stupendous phrase, Muggeridge writes. And how particularly marvelous today when one is conscious of so much darkness in the world. "Let your light shine before men," he exhorted us. "You know, sometimes someone asks me what I most want, what I would most like to do in the little that remains of my life. And I always nowadays truthfully answer, and it is truthful. I should like my light to shine, even if only very fitfully, like a match struck in a dark, cavernous night, and then flickering out." And so he did. His flickering light shone in the last years of his life as he witnessed to Jesus. We live in a dark world. The only hope is to let Jesus shine into our lives, to light us up for him, so that we in turn, like him, can become lights in the world and attract people to the only hope, the only Saviour, the only God. So may it be that his light will shine in us today, and that we will shine for him.